If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. Republicans will vote on a bill that defunds Obamacare later this week. The measure would keep the federal government running beyond the end of this month, but would deny money to implement the health care law.
It's time to protect American families from this unworkable law.
House Speaker John Boehner. The White House, meanwhile, says the bill is not going anywhere.
House Republicans have decided to pursue a path away from compromise, in favor of voting on a piece of legislation that they know will not become law.
Spokesman Jay Carney also warned Republicans that they must increase the federal debt ceiling when the country's borrowing limit is reached sometime next month. GOP leaders are said to be preparing a debt limit bill that would delay Obamacare implementation by 1 year. In a speech to business leaders in Washington on Wednesday morning, the president said he will not negotiate with Republicans over raising the debt ceiling. The president accused Republicans of trying to extort him on the issue. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Hi there. Welcome aboard. Thanks very much for being along. Duke Brooks here. This is Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. This is the Wednesday, September 18th edition of Radio Free America. And, of course, we have a wide number of very interesting things lined up. We're going to be hearing from Senator Ted Cruz in approximately 14 minutes from now with his Freedom Minute. And you're aware that Senator Cruz has been in the news quite a bit lately. He pretty much replaced Marco Rubio as the favorite son of the Tea Party movement when Rubio's True Colors came out. So you don't hear very much about Rubio lately, but you are hearing from Senator Cruz, Republican of Texas, and Senator Cruz will have his Freedom Minute here on Radio Free America in about 14 minutes from now. Of course, tonight we will also be hearing Civil War history. Speaking of history, on this day in 1947, the U.S. Air Force was commissioned. And the U.S. Air Force, I don't know how much elaboration I have to do. The U.S. Air Force is the U.S. Air Force, best one in the entire world. There isn't any question about that. Very, very glad that they are on my side, and I'm on their side. And I think, you know, if you're a patriotic American, if you love your country, and if you don't love your country, I guess my question is, what are you doing here? If you don't love America, why are you still here? Why don't you get out? At least have the decent, simple, common human decency to shut up about it. I mean, yes, I know we have a First Amendment. You know, we are the only country in the world that has no provision for prior restraint of the press. Think about that for a moment. Even the other English-speaking countries in the world, Canada, the United Kingdom of Great Britain, Australia, New Zealand, they all have a legal mechanism in their countries for being able to impose penalties on the press for saying things that the government does not like. You know, a lot of people are going to think, oh, come on, England? I mean, Canada? Come on, they're free countries like we are. Wrong. They are not. In Canada, you can get in very serious trouble if you're a newspaper for publishing something that some group thinks is offensive. You could get in very serious trouble as a private citizen for simply saying something that some group might think is offensive. That is not a free country. That is not a free press. That is not freedom of speech. The United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland refers to itself as a constitutional monarchy. Ask any British subject, there is no constitution in Britain. There is a there are houses of parliament, and there is Her Majesty. And as far as I can tell, in Britain, there is an election when Her Majesty wants there to be an election. There are minor, basically inconsequential elections that are held on a regular basis, you know, dog catcher, meter maid, that sort of thing, as far as I know. I mean, if I'm wrong, I've been in England. I've been there. I spent quite a long time over there. But I was a young guy, and I wasn't really all that focused on trying to understand how Her Majesty's government works. I like Her Majesty. I have complete and total respect for Her Majesty. If you know better about how the English system works than I do, and the chance maybe you do, give me a call at 718-305-7176. I love to be set right by somebody. If somebody has an opinion that is different from mine, and they think they're going to change my mind just by calling me names or insulting the things that I hold dear, or simply spouting off their opinion over and over and over again, that is not going to change my mind. For a long time, I'll give you an example. For a long time, and I don't know how I got this idea in my head. I have no idea. Would have been easy to check it out. Although, well, no, maybe it wouldn't have been. This. I was thinking this in the early 1990s before the internet really existed. For a long time, I thought that the first thing that American women did as soon as they got the vote was they voted and brought in prohibition. Wrong. It was the other way around. Prohibition, which I believe is called the 21st Amendment, came into existence before women getting the vote, which I believe is the 22nd Amendment. I can actually check that. But, somebody set me straight on that. Let's see. No, it is not. It is the 19th Amendment gave women the vote. The 18th Amendment is the one that brought in prohibition. That the 18th Amendment is known as the Volstead Act. The 19th Amendment was ratified on August 18, 1920. The 18th Amendment was ratified January 16, 1919. So I had it wrong. It was the other way around. Now, I forget who. I think it might have been my lawyer. I forget who it was that told me that I had that information wrong. Guess what? I am thankful to that individual. Was it the late Eddie Jones, my lawyer in Baltimore? I think it might have been. I think it was Mr. C. Eddie Jones, who sadly passed away several years ago. And Mr. Eddie Jones was a absolutely legendary lawyer in Baltimore. And he was my lawyer for the 6 years or so that I lived and worked in Baltimore. I loved it. Anyway, I believe at lunch one day, he told me that it was the other way around. Perpetually will I be thankful to Mr. Eddie Jones because he set me straight on a fact. Let's make sure we all understand the difference between a fact, the truth, unquote, and an opinion. Liberals very often will make statements like, George W. Bush not only is the worst president in the history of the human race, he is also the worst human being that ever lived. That is a fact. All right. Well, no, that is not a fact. That is an opinion. Occasionally they will say things like, well, it is the truth that he is the worst of all time. No, that is an opinion as well. Liberals will say it is the truth that Exxon is responsible for global warming. No, that is probably an opinion. The difference between truth and fact is this. Truth is a philosophical concept. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it is. Belief is a function of the human mind. It is something that takes place in humans' brains. Therefore, truth is a philosophical, it is a concept. Fact exists whether human beings are aware of it or not. Let me give you an example. It was the truth for thousands of years that the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, they all revolved around the earth. That was the truth. It was obvious. It was clear. All you had to do was go outside and you could watch it. You could see it. That was the truth. But it was never a fact. Okay? Get the difference? Now then, let me tell you a couple of another fact here. ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a very big way. This is a fact. It is Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the Volunteer State, even if you're not from Tennessee, if you've never been walking in Memphis, you've never hiked in the Blue Ridge, the issues that are affecting the Volunteer State of Tennessee right now are spreading out all over the United States. Dave Vance, my buddy, our host on Mondays, brings his Veterans Insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday. So make sure that you check him out. Mark your calendar. It's brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, right here on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. This is Radio Free America. We are at about 13 minutes after the top of hour number one on this Wednesday, September 18th edition of Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com. The number here is 718-305-7176. As always, the chat room is beginning to populate. I see a couple of people in there. It's okay. You're free and complete liberty to call. You know, on Monday morning, we had another one. Yes, we had another mass shooting in the United States, in the nation's capital. Already, there are very strange things that are floating around as a result of this. I mean, by now, I hope you're aware that firearms expert, CNN's own Max Roberts, who goes by the name of Piers Morgan, described the weapon that Aaron Alexis is said to have used at the Washington Navy Yard as an AR-15 shotgun. Okay, now, I've got to be honest with you. I am not any kind of a firearms expert. Max Roberts is a firearms expert. Max is on the air every Thursday night here at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, with the Second Amendment Forum. Max is a firearms expert. I'm telling you, So you're going to want to listen to that. We'll be hearing from Max later on in this edition of Radio Free America, and I don't mean a postcard. However, the media, of course, they, you know, they're leftists. They're leftists. Come on, that's what they are. They're a bunch of leftists. When I was younger, I might have referred to them as commies or pinkos. And, you know, I mean, seriously, that's where they're coming from. There's no question about it. The left, there is, of all the things in a free society that the left despises, the number one thing that they despise the most is a lawfully armed population, because the left has to govern against the national will of the people, especially in this country. The left has to take people's freedom away in order to complete their leftist agenda. The left has to prevent people from saying, doing, reading, hearing, and seeing certain things, because those things are contrary to the completion of the leftist agenda. That's the problem. So they want to be, the left doesn't want to govern, they want to rule. All right. Anyway, we're about 16 and a half minutes after the top of the hour. I promised you Senator Ted Cruz, and Senator Cruz is here with the Freedom Minute. More coming up on the other side, a quick break thereafter, and your calls, so stay right where you are.
Hi, I'm Ted Cruz, and this is the Freedom Minute. Happy Constitution Day. In honor of this day, I'd like to share a memorization trick that I learned for remembering Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, the enumerated powers of Congress. All you need to do is remember TCC, NCC, PCC, Pawn, Mama, Wren. It sounds funny, but here's how it works. TCC stands for Taxes, Credit, Commerce. NCC for Naturalization, Coinage, Counterfeiting. PCC for Post Office, Copyright, Courts. Pawn for Piracy, Army, War, Navy. Mama for Militia and Money for Militia. And Wren for Washington, D.C., Rules and Necessary and Proper. Try it yourself and share it with your friends. TCC, NCC, PCC, Pawn, Mama, Wren. If everyone knew the enumerated powers, maybe Congress would follow. Thanks for listening. I'm Ted Cruz, and this is the Freedom Minute.
You're struggling with your mortgage. You think about it. You don't do anything but think about it.
What are we going to do if we lose the house? Where are we going to go?
At work.
I can't let anybody find out. I'm so embarrassed.
At dinner.
How can I tell the kids? It's going to wreck their lives.
And at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get through this. What's going to happen to us?
It's time to stop thinking. It's time to start dialing. Call 1-888-995-HOPE for a free government program that offers expert one-on-one advice about your mortgage options.
I'm all alone.
No, you're not. We've helped over a million homeowners, and we want to help you. And now there are more ways to help. Call 1-888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Ronnie Wood of the Stones for Rad. You know it's okay to rock and roll and party, because I do it all the time. Just let someone else do the driving. That's what I do. Remember, rock lives, and you should too. Please don't drink and drive.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Sure, humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Welcome back to Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here. about 20 minutes after the start of the first hour of this edition of Radio Free America. The number is 718-305-7176. I am delighted to speak with you. Go ahead and give a call. We have been talking a little bit so far about the shooting, mass shooting on Monday at the Washington Navy Yard. Now, I have a friend who called and told me that his brother was at his workplace at the Navy Yard on Monday morning and called him and said, "Can you hear those bullets pinging around?" And, you know, this fellow, I'm not going to name any names because he has a, you know, he has a very serious job in the U.S. Navy. But my buddy called and said that the shootings were taking place in the building in which his brother worked, and his brother happened to be in the parking lot at 8:20 that morning when it started. So very, 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 very strange, very, very bizarre. And it looks to me like Christian is calling in from Denmark. Christian, how are you, my buddy?
I'm doing fine. How are you tonight? You got a great show going on.
Well, thank you. You know, I was not aware until I looked at your Facebook page that you are a huge fan of American country music. I had no idea.
Well, I am. It's a relatively new passion for me, but I really enjoy it. It's very uplifting, and it's got good spirit, and it's great music. It's very representative of the spirit that built America and made it great, I think.
Well, you know, there is a joke in America, and the joke goes, do you know what happens when you play a country music record backwards?
No.
You get let out of jail, your wife stops cheating on you, your truck starts running again, you get sober, and your favorite hunting dog comes back home. I mean, you know,
nice this, one.
I mean, you know the deal with American country songs.
Yeah.
The day they hanged my papa, my poor mama died in jail. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's your everyday problems.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah.
Now, what is the basic gist in Denmark about what happened at Washington Navy Yard Monday?
Yeah, I have just, you know, before we start on in the gun control issue, which this Washington thing is really all about, isn't it? I just want to put the record straight on the monarchy, the function of the Queen and such.
In England?
Yeah, in England, because I'll assume that it's in England that they have the same rules that they do as we do here in Denmark. And the thing is, that in Denmark, and I think it's the same in England, the Queen signs all the laws, and first by then they are laws. But it's just a show, really, because if she don't sign the law, then she is going to be like evicted. Then she's no longer the Queen, really. So it's just for show. The Queen has no power in any of the England or Denmark, really. You could say that the royal family has less power than most people over here because they're not allowed to vote and they are not allowed to participate in political debates. So you can actually argue that they have less power than normal people. But what they do have is that it's an institution that unites the people across party lines. So, and that has a very a good function and a very important function for a country. And the thing is that a lot of people think that their country should have someone like you have with your president and the first lady. And there's a lot of emphasis on that the president's wife, or if it's a woman, her husband, is like the first lady. And we don't have that over here. Over here, we have let the politicians. We're only really interested in what they do as politicians, because all the representative stuff with the family and such, the royal family takes care of that, and that's very helpful for the whole political process. And it has worked really great over here. And of course, you say, okay, we are subjects and whatever, but it's only really for show. And it's not at all like it was back in the old days, where the queen and the king, you know, really had the power and could do whatever they want. They actually live under a very strict regime, and they have all these things and functions that they have to adhere to, just to set the record straight.
Well, you know, in the United States, the First Lady is not a constitutional officer. She has no authority. She's got a staff, but that's strictly for social purposes. I mean, the First Lady is not elected. And however, I think I get what you're saying. And now then, I did want to ask you, what is the Western European media talking about in terms of the Washington Navy Yard shooting on Monday?
Well, basically, you know, as in most things over here, we're just getting read all the Democrats' talking points, the liberal talking points over here, because all of the reporters over here are very left-leaning guys, you know, from your perspective anyway. So it's just, you know, look at America. They have all these guns, and look what happens. And none of the media over here are ever reporting that these gun incidents almost only happens in states where they have very strict gun laws, actually, because in the states where you have the right to carry guns and have very liberal guns laws, these things hardly ever happen. And we don't
well,
get
there's
to
no
that.
Question about the fact that in places where you are allowed, for instance, in Vermont, there is no licensing process. You are allowed, the only gun law in the state of Vermont, in New England, in the northeast of the U.S., the only firearm law is that you may not use a firearm in the commission of a crime. That's it.
Yeah.
You're allowed to buy one. You can own one. You can carry one. You know, there are states that are now going to open carry. And in those states, violent crime is not nearly as much of a problem as it is in states that do not have those laws. Because, I mean, think about it. If you're a criminal and you think you're going to break into somebody's house in a place like Alaska, if the homeowner is home, there's about a 90% chance that he or she will have a firearm that they can get. I mean, you know, this is just common sense. The left does not see it that way. The left does not want an armed population under any circumstances. They want to rule, not govern.
Yeah, and then we have make a very good example, a sad example, of course, but still a good example. Over here in Scandinavia, in Norway, just 2 years ago this summer, where Anders Breivik shot and killed about 67 people. He just sailed out to an island where all these young people were gathered, and he knew that because you have very strict gun laws in Norway, as we do in all Scandinavian countries, he knew that they would be unarmed. So he was just, you know, taking his guns and sail out there, and he knew that going in that they couldn't resist because he had these guns. And as I've been telling, you know, all my friends since that happened, I wonder if he had done the same, if he had known that some of the guys there have actually been packing and been learned, been taught from early age how to use them, because then he knew that then he probably only gets killed like 10 people and then one would shoot him. So
well,
basically, strict gun laws kills people. It killed, I would claim this, that it killed 67 good Norwegian youth, young people, 2 years ago because of that. So, yeah.
if people have the right to defend themselves and they have the means to defend themselves, that and that alone suppresses violent crime.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
You know, yeah, because you know that people will respond to you, that it's not for free, that it's you might end up dead. And that makes you think twice
about it.
Coming down.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's always bogus.
Thank you so much for being along this evening. And I look forward to
seeing
you.
Thank
you,
and have a nice show.
All right, my friend.
Have a nice...
See you soon.
Yes.
Thank you very much, pal. You know, I speaking with Christian, and we are going to take a break here in a moment. Well, why don't we go ahead and take care of a little bit of business, and then I'm going to share with you a couple of ideas that I have about Christian. And I think because this is, after all, conservative nation media, you are going to like these ideas. And since you are listening to conservativenationmedia.com, I'm presuming that you are a conservative. That means that you love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case our leftist government in D.C. drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that is the case, you're going to want a Supply Depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And we've got your pipeline to those essentials right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That's going to take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds. Starting right now, just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. You will be very glad that you did. You will also be glad that you hang around after this break, so stay right where you are.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on the very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Penny Lane, there is a bar showing photographs. And every head he has a place to know. And all the people that come and go stop and say hello.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Have you ever noticed that the liberals just cannot force themselves under any circumstances to be on our side? I mean, no matter what the conflict is, the liberals are always, oh, no, I don't want American forces to win. Vietnam was the same deal. I don't know about Korea. I think that the American people got tired of the Korean situation fairly early on. Korea was like a full-scale war. You know, we have just recently passed the 60th anniversary of the end of the Korean War that started in December of 1950, and it ended in June of 1953. Pretty sure I've got the dates right. If you're a Korean War veteran, give me a shout, 718-305-7176. Even if you're not a Korean War veteran, you can give me a shout anyway at 718-305-7176. The Europeans, as Christian just told us, Christian has not been to America, by the way. I've got some ideas about bringing Christian over to America, and this is something that I may detail a couple of people at Conservative Nation Media to help me with. But I think we can – I really want to bring Christian over to America and let him see this country. And, you know, I think he is you know, there's a wonderful line in Full Metal Jacket, I'm paraphrasing, in which a Marine colonel says, "Inside every Vietnamese is an American trying to get out." And I suspect that Christian would really enjoy a trip to America. We're going to talk about this. We're going to work on this a little bit. Don't tell him. Don't tell him. All right. I want this to be a surprise. Anyway, the Europeans, of course, their populations over there are not allowed to own firearms. Switzerland apparently is different. You know, Switzerland has never been invaded in its history, and there are a lot of reasons why. Certainly one of them is the fact that the country is almost entirely mountains, and you can't operate an army on mountainous terrain. You just can't do it. I mean, seriously. You know, people say, well, why don't we be like Switzerland and be neutral? Well, I guess what it comes down to is that I'm not really sure Switzerland has anything that other nations would like to possess. You know, they have a banking business, but since that is almost entirely electronic nowadays, that is fairly easily defended, I think. It's all mountains, man. You know, it's the Alps, right? How are you going to invade the Alps? But one of the other things that Switzerland has is their army. They do have an army. Even a country like Switzerland has an army. Somebody on the phone the other day said to me, "We ought to be like Sweden. They're neutral. They don't need an army. They don't have an army." Guess what? Sweden has a pretty vigorous army, navy, and air force. In fact, I used to work with a guy named, you know, this is going to crack you up. The guy was from Switzerland. I'm sorry, from Sweden. And guess what his first name was? His name was Bjorn. It probably still, I think Bjorn is still around. I haven't spoken to him in a while, but he's a very good guy. He's from Stockholm, and he was in the Swedish Navy, and the Swedish Navy has their equivalent of what we call the SEAL units over here, and Bjorn was in the Swedish Navy SEAL equivalent unit. Guy is a very, very elite athlete. He's got to be in his mid-60s by now, but the guy, you know, you can tell just by looking at him that he was a very, very serious athlete in his younger years, and I am presuming that he still does a lot of, all kinds of skiing and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, Sweden can be neutral for a variety of different reasons, not the least of which is the fact that they have a very serious arms and armaments industry in Sweden. And they will sell their arms and armaments, as far as I know, to anyone. During World War II, they sold the Bofors 40-millimeter cannon to the Americans and to the Germans. You know, they're on the market. They're going to sell their stuff. That is the 40 Mike. You very, very often see films of U.S. naval battles in World War II, and they have these guns called pom-pom guns. And those are the quad 40 Mike Bofors anti-aircraft gun. We also extensively, and so did the Germans in World War II, make use of the Swiss Oerlikon 20-millimeter cannon, which was that was one heck of a gun. I mean, there's no question about it. The best general-purpose small-caliber naval rifle of all of World War II was the United States 5-inch 38 cannon. That was everybody understood that was the best anti-aircraft and general-purpose sort of light naval rifle of World War II. 5 inches in diameter, and the length was 38 times the diameter. That's where the phrase 5-inch 38 comes from. My friend John Parshall, the author of, along with Tony Tully, the author of Shattered Sword, The Untold Story of the Battle of Midway. You will often see John on various shows on the Military History Channel, the Military Channel, you know, et cetera, talking about the U.S. Navy in World War II. And I remember on one of them, this was before I met him, John was sitting there and he was being interviewed and he was talking, I think, about the Battle of the Philippine Sea, which I believe has become known as the Great Marianas Turkey Shoot. But he said that a United States Naval Combat Task Force in World War II, to approach it as an enemy aircraft was a very, very dangerous place to be. Our anti-aircraft guns were excellent, especially by the end of the war when we had the proximity fuse. And that was something that enabled our anti-aircraft shells to blow up when they got near the enemy airplane. And there was a magnetic resonance receiver inside the head of the shell. And when it got to a certain proximity to a mass of metal, it would detonate, and that was extraordinarily effective. You know, we at conservativenationmedia.com are growing. I don't mean my waistline. That's growing. However, we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, immediately following Soldier of Patriotism with Michael Smith on conservativenationmedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we are just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. About 17 minutes before the top of the hour, here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. The number is 718-305-7176. Now the chat room is a lot of activity in there right now. Some friends. You know, I don't go into the chat room all that much when I'm on the air. So I'm kind of, there is this event at the Washington Navy Yard. It is not getting as much coverage as the event at Sandy Hook, the event at the theater in Aurora, Colorado. It just is not, okay? You know, the media is, they're just not making as much light of this. They're not making as much of a big deal about this as they would have, I think, under these circumstances. Number one, if the shooter were white. Number two, if the victims were not employees of the U.S. military. Those are, you know, the U.S. media, they really, you know, the mainstream media, those liberals at CNN and CBS and everything, they don't have any problem with American military personnel being killed. You know why? Because they think that anybody that wears this country's uniform is some kind of a fascist. That's the way they think about things. I'm not making this up. Anyway, we're going to take a brief break. More of your calls are coming up, so stay right where you are.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
It is with great pleasure that I welcome you to today's graduation ceremony. Students, when you hear the reason or reasons for your absences throughout the years, please exit the auditorium without your high school diploma. Once you've exited, remove your cap and gown and proceed into the unknown. Too tired. Family trip. Part-time job. Helping around the house. Sick day. Starting the holidays early. Just because.
Starting in the sixth grade, students who miss 18 days or more of school in a year for any reason will fall behind and risk not graduating high school. How many days of school has your child missed this year? Absences add up. Keep track at boostattendance.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
This is Kevin Wade, and you're listening to Radio Free America with Duke Brooks on Conservative Nation Radio.
Thank you very much, Kevin Wade, and thank you to Crowded House, a semi-one-hit wonder. Kevin Wade is going to be my guest live in studio next week, same time, same internet URL, conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Welcome back to Radio Free America. About 11 minutes now before the top of the hour. This the Wednesday, September 18th edition of Radio Free America. We have been talking a little bit about the shooting Monday, and I mentioned I'm just kind of surprised by how quickly this has moved off of the headlines. Aurora, Colorado, that was the lead story for several days. Likewise, the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Fairfield County, Connecticut, last Christmas time, same deal. I mean, it almost would not go away. And people all over the world saying, oh, America, evil guns. Hey, I've got some news for you. Do you really think that we would still have elections in this country if the population were not armed? I don't think so. I don't think so. Now, I've got to be honest with you, I am no real fan of Alex Jones, anybody that thinks that the 9-1-1 attacks were an inside job planned by President Bush and Vice President Cheney, frankly, I think is an absolute idiot. Please get serious, will you? However, this comes from InfoWars, which is Alex Jones's website, via Drudge. By Paul Joseph Watson, despite every indication that Navy Yard shooter Aaron Alexis was on SSRI drugs that have been linked to dozens of previous mass shootings, the mainstream media has once again avoided all discussion of the issue, preferring instead to blame the tragedy on a non-existent AR-15 that the gunman did not use. We now know that Alexis, quote, had been treated since August by the Veterans Administration for his mental problems, unquote. As Mike Adams points out, quote, this is proof that Aaron Alexis was on psychiatric drugs because that's the only treatment currently being offered by the Veterans Administration for mental problems. Alexis's family members also confirmed to the press that he was being, quote, treated, unquote, for his mental health problems. Across the medical industry, treatment is the code word for psychiatric drugging, unquote. I don't know if it is or not, to be honest with you. I mean, maybe it is, maybe it's not. I really don't know. And, here is the subheadline. It says, networks don't want to risk losing $2.4 billion in ad revenue from pharmaceutical giants. Okay, all right. Now, let me explain a couple of things here. I've been in this business for over 40, it's been about 41 years now. And I can tell you that in big-time professional journalism in this country, and journalism in general, they have a doctrine. And the doctrine that reporters, writers, and editors have, the doctrine centers around the idea that if you are a reporter or an editor, a writer, a correspondent, whatever, that you are not supposed to care one bit about who advertises in your paper, on your station, at your TV network, on your cable alley. You're not supposed to care about that at all. And they actually have a term to describe that doctrine. And this is, the hubris, the arrogance, the narcissism, the ego of a lot of people in the press in this country. When you take that into account, you will not be at all surprised that the term that they use to describe the fact that they, as reporters and writers, couldn't care less about some advertiser's commercial concerns, the term they use to describe that is the separation of church and state. I mean, you don't have to guess which one of church and state the reporters think they represent, even though an awful lot of them are either atheists, agnostics, or some non-traditional, non-Western religion, which they do primarily just to gain attention. I mean, seriously. However, that is the term that they use. They really don't care. There are exceptions to that. There are exceptions. Does anybody remember around 1990, 92, 93, sometime around then, when NBC News on their program, I think it was Dateline, it was hosted by Stone Phillips and Jane Pauley. I think it was Dateline or Nightline, or I think it was Dateline. Yeah, I think it was Dateline NBC. They had done what they called an investigation into, and I can imagine that Ralph Nader was probably behind this, into the safety of a either a General Motors or a Ford pickup truck that Ralph Nader or somebody, you know, NYPIRG, one of these anti-business organizations, had said if it rolls over in a crash, the fuel tank will ignite. And they had a piece of video of one of these trucks rolling over and the fuel tank igniting. Now, you know, I once had a car that I owned burn up. It's not pretty when you see a possession of yours completely consumed by flame, and you know you've got possessions in there, and they're being destroyed as well. It's not nice. So this is a scary thing that happened, and there it was on NBC, and it looked scary. And people were talking about it, and sales of that vehicle, of new vehicles, and I'm presuming used ones as well, began to drop off. And then General Motors or Ford, I forget which one, got a hold of the videotape. And they watched it. And they studied it. And they slowed it down. And they enhanced it. And they were able to determine that the reason the gas tank caught on fire and exploded on television was that the producers of the show had rigged a model rocket engine under the fuel tank to make sure that it would blow up when it rolled over and the fuel tank was pierced. All right? I mean, literally, that is what they did. Now, under those circumstances, here is what was done. Whichever automobile manufacturer wrote a letter to Jack Welch. Jack Welch was the chairman of General Electric, and General Electric owned NBC at that time. And the letter basically said, you guys are full of crap. We know for an absolute fact that you rigged a model rocket engine to blow up and to make our fuel tank blow up. And if you don't correct that on the air, and if you don't do so right now, we, the world's largest or second largest at the time automobile manufacturer, are going to stop buying parts from your parent, from General Electric. And our business is worth billions of dollars a year. The amount of money that a big three automaker spends buying electrical parts and other parts from a manufacturer like General Electric dwarfs the amount of money that those same companies spend advertising their product on the NBC television network. I mean, it's like a firecracker or a model rocket engine compared to a 1,000-pound bomb. It just doesn't, there's no comparison, okay? So I can guarantee you, you know, we have freedom of the press in this country, but we also have libel and slander laws, and we also have laws against fraud. And I think in that letter that the big three, one of the big three automakers, their legal department probably hinted that there could be a federal fraud or a federal slander lawsuit against NBC, and NBC would have lost it. There's no question they would have lost it, and it would have cost them probably a couple of $100 million. And I guarantee you GE was not going to allow that to happen. So 1 week or 2 weeks after the offending story with the rigged exploding gas tank truck story was aired on Dateline NBC, There were Stone Phillips and Jane Pauley giving a very serious, and it looked to me to be a sincere, retraction, explanation, and apology, and they acknowledged that they had rigged the vehicle to blow up. We're going to take a break, coming back in about 2.5 minutes. So are your calls. Stay right where you are.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Hey, Billy.
Yeah?
Do you want to go to the state fair?
Yeah.
Do you want to ride the roller coaster?
Yeah.
The big one?
Yeah.
The one with the reverse flip?
Yeah!
Well, you can't. You see, Billy, when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have done with it, including going to the state fair.
Oh, man.
Cheer up. This year, your parents will make it right. They're going to visit EnergySavers.gov, where they'll get tips on how to save energy and money. Then they'll add extra insulation and get a few of those Energy Star appliances. They could save hundreds of dollars a year. And you know what, Billy?
What?
They'll take you to the state fair next year.
But I want to go this year.
I know you do, Billy. I know you do. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Duke Brooks here. This is Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. The number is 718-305-7176. Thanks a lot for being along for this Wednesday, September 18th edition of Radio Free America. Yesterday was the anniversary of the Battle of Antietam Creek during the Civil War. That was the worst single day of combat fatalities in American history, and also the anniversary of the start of Operation Market Garden in Holland in 1944, World War II operation, immortalized in the book by Cornelius Ryan called A Bridge Too Far, which was later made into a film by Sir Richard Attenborough. And 1977, that film came out. It's a, you know, movie very much of the period with a huge all-star cast. Anthony Hopkins, Robert Redford, James Caan, Elliot Gould, Sir Laurence Olivier, Liv Ullmann, the Scandinavian actress. It had like everybody in it. Sean Connery, one of those things. Huge, great movie. You have to do a lot of things in movies to make them really understandable and kind of audience friendly in a way. The amount of detail that would have been necessary in the film, if it were going to be true to the book, would have made the film about 6 or 8 hours long, and it would have been incomprehensible, really, to almost everybody except very serious World War II scholars. It's kind of like the movie Gettysburg. Did anybody see the movie Gettysburg? It was a great movie. I think I'm the only, and at the time, Civil War reenactment was my hobby. I think I'm the only one in the country, the only reenactor at the time in the country who was not in that movie. Whenever I see the movie, I always see quite a few of my friends. Ron Roberts is, he shows up a couple of times. Bill Simmons is in it. The late Kurt Raymert is in the movie. There was Dale Ferguson. I mean, it's really very interesting. It's wonderful. But in order for that movie to really go into detail about the Battle of Gettysburg, which took place over a 3-day period, it would have had to be 8 or 12 hours long. And even then, there is no way that they could have faithfully, there are a lot of things that they left out of the movie, and they had to. I think that I think Ron Maxwell is a fairly good film director. I mean, Gettysburg was a very good film. It had some shortcomings. You know, if you see it on the small screen, it's not bad. On the big screen, though, the beards that, I mean, back then almost everybody had a beard. You know, that was the fashion back then. The women didn't, obviously. But Tom Berenger played General Longstreet. I thought his beard looked awful. Martin Sheen played Robert E. Lee. Martin Sheen is great. Kind of a goofy leftist and like a dopey, you know, pinko in real life. But a lot of my buddies said that Martin Sheen was a great guy, and a lot of them worked with him directly in several scenes, and they said he was a great guy. They said Berenger was not really such a nice guy. I met one or two people. I knew one or two people that had met Sam Elliott, and they said Sam Elliott was a pretty nice guy, but they said there was a tremendous difference between Martin Sheen and Tom Berenger, and Berenger just was not particularly nice, and Martin Sheen was a great guy. It would have had to be just unbelievably long. Gettysburg is kind of like, you know, several battles. I mean, 3 days worth, really. You know, and the highlight on the third and final day, of course, was Pickett's Charge. That was pretty much the majority of what happened on the third day, and that was a failure of the Confederacy to break the Union line. The Union really, the Union was on the defense the entire time during the Battle of Gettysburg. The South made several attacks over the 3-day period, and really none of them were successful. They were able to kind of force the Union Army out of Gettysburg, the town itself, the streets and buildings and avenues and all that stuff, during the first day, but the Union took up defensive positions on various high points, such as Culp's Hill, Little Round Top, Cemetery Hill, and they held it. And the Confederacy ultimately was not able to dislodge them. And that's how the Confederacy lost the Battle of Gettysburg. Of course, in about 8 minutes or so, we will be checking in with On This Day in Civil War History, September 18th, 1863, 150 years ago today. My cousin Jim once said to me, when you think about the Civil War, he was a big reenactor for 10 or 15 years, but he said, it's sad when you think about it. And I understand that. And, it was. I mean, the idea of Americans fighting Americans that way, not good. every once in a while, I hear somebody talking about the fact that we may be coming with a, you know, to another civil war in the country. I hope that's not the case. I really do. However, I got to be honest with you. I'm not really sure I would want the government to win, you know, this government, especially this leftist government that we have going on in Washington right now. I mean, these guys, Obama, you've got to be kidding me. How on earth, every day I speak to somebody that says, how on earth did that guy get elected? Well, there's a very simple answer. There is something out there, someone out there called the low information voter. And the low information, most voters in this country are low information voters. They are poorly informed. They do not have even a rudimentary understanding of the larger issues. They have no understanding whatsoever of the U.S. Constitution. They don't understand how government works. They don't pay attention to it. When and if they go into the voting booth, they see a name that they recognize, and that's the button they push or the lever they pull, and that's the end of it. And this is one of the reasons why a guy like Obama could win the election. Another reason is the media viewed itself as the unofficial campaign for Barack Obama. This is documented. You can, you know, anybody can look at Journalist, which is what Ezra Klein, who was the, at the time, was the online editor of the Washington Post. He was in charge of their electronic product at the time. I guess Zuckerberg is still going to, you know, now that he owns the Washington Post. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, the guy that set up Facebook now owns the watch. It's unreal. And what is he, like 17 or something? You know, I don't know how anybody could acquire that much money, you know, at that young. It's just unreal. It is unreal. The internet opened a floodgate, and it's still open. And if you know what you're doing, you can obviously make a lot of money on the internet. But anyway, on Journalist, which was essentially a chat room for journalists, legitimate, you know, that were known to actually be journalists, they were mostly third-tier, fourth-tier people. There were some second-tier people in there, people like Dan Rather, Scott Pelley, Brian Williams. They were not members of Journalist. They probably don't have time for that kind of stuff. But some of the people on Journalist describe themselves as being the unofficial campaign for Barack Obama. Journalists, seriously, viewing themselves as having some kind of a role, a right, maybe an obligation or a duty to help elect a certain, I mean, it's unbelievable, you know, unreal. It is about 13 minutes after the top of the hour now. There comes a time when good things have to give way to great things. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing now like a Texas Longhorn, which is why Michael B. Smith now has his very own show. Check out Soldier of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com. But don't be worried. He's the same Michael B. you've come to know and love, and you'll hear even more great interviews and awesome conservative commentary from our very own main man, Michael B. Smith, on Soldier of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Michael truly is a great guy. He's one of the, I'd have to say he's one of the best people that I've ever met in my life. No question about it. About 14 minutes after the hour now, 718-305-7176 is the number. My buddy up in Alaska just mentioned in the chat room one of the other reasons why Obama won, and that is voter fraud. There is no question about it. There is no question about it. There are more than enough verifiable and documented precincts in this country where something like 104% of all registered voters cast votes. I mean, come on. You know, what's going on here? And, of course, the federal government isn't going to do anything about it. I mean, a Democrat attorney general that had any sense of ethics or morals at all would investigate that, but he isn't going to. You know, Eric Holder is all about using the government to advance the agenda of the liberal wing of the Democrat Party in this country. You know all that. You know that stuff. That's pretty obvious. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Civil War history and your calls. So stay right where you are.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
So you're giving up, just like that?
Giving up on what?
I'm getting an inheritance from a distant relative.
Don't you think if there were a billionaire in the family, we'd know about it by now?
Listen to me. We are one phone call away from riding horses on our own private polo ground. One call from christening yachts, having a butler, using summer as a verb.
How do you figure?
Look, everyone's got a rich uncle somewhere. It's statistics. So the best thing you can do is just prepare for the inevitable.
Right, which is why I thought maybe it would be smart to take control of my finances. You know, start using a budget, get out of debt, set some retirement goals.
Budgets? Debt? You watch your mouth. Retirement shouldn't be a goal for us. It should be a way of life.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dad, how do you throw a curveball? How do you build a fort? How do refrigerators run? How do fish learn how to swim?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
How high can you jump?
But you don't have to know every answer.
How many phone numbers are there?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
How do cell phones work?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
What's electricity?
They just need you.
What's the moon made of?
For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And that music, of course, means it is time for On This Day in Civil War History. This is from the Civil War Day by Day by E.B. Long with Barbara Long. September 18th was a Friday 150 years ago in 1863, and it was the beginning of what is known as the Chickamauga Campaign. Confederate General Braxton Bragg moved all but three divisions of his Army of Tennessee from the Ringgold area across West Chickamauga Creek, aided by a portion of Longstreet's corps, which arrived in the morning from Virginia. Heavy skirmishing with Federal cavalry broke out at Peavine Ridge, Alexander's Bridge, and Reed's Bridge, Dyer's Ford, Spring Creek, and near Stevens Gap, Georgia. For his part, Rosecrans moved Thomas's corps of the Army of the Cumberland in a hard march northeast so that Bragg would not outflank the Federals toward Chattanooga. A major battle was in sight in the East Tennessee Campaign skirmishing flared at Calhoun, Cleveland, Kingsport, and Bristol, Tennessee. Other action was at Crooked Run, Virginia, and near Fort Donelson, Tennessee. President Lincoln himself honorably discharged William Duff Armstrong from Army service. As an attorney, Lincoln had defended Armstrong in a famous murder case in 1858. You know, the president back then could be a lot more involved in very minute day-to-day details. And the president, President Lincoln, was famous for having basically office hours. I mean, apparently once a week or something, or a couple of times a month or whenever, the doors of the White House would be open and private citizens could line up to talk to the president. I mean, can you imagine that happening today? I can't imagine that happening during my lifetime since the mid-1950s. Eisenhower was in office when I was, and even then, I cannot imagine somebody just showing up at the White House and saying, I'd like to speak to President Eisenhower. Okay, well, is your name on the list? Do you have an open? Well, no, but I was just hoping to talk to him. And I don't see that happening, you know, not at any time really since probably Chester A. Arthur was president. You know, that's probably about the last president that, I don't know, maybe Theodore Roosevelt, maybe. I don't know. What do you think? 718-305-7176 is the number. If you've got any insight, any feelings, any information on that sort of thing, you know, access to the president, there are a lot of nutcases out there, no question about it. Obviously, Aaron Alexis is one of them. This is from the Associated Press via Drudge. The Veterans Affairs Department has told lawmakers that the Washington Navy Yard gunman visited two VA hospitals in late August complaining of insomnia, but that he denied struggling with anxiety or depression or had thoughts of harming himself or others. The information about the gunman, Aaron Alexis, was released to Congress today. The Associated Press obtained a summary. The Veterans Administration said Alexis visited the VA facility in Providence, Rhode Island on August 23rd, and was given medication to help him sleep and advised to follow up. 5 days later, he sought a refill at the VA Medical Center in Washington. The VA described him as, quote, alert and oriented during both visits. Alexis, a former member of the Navy Reserve, had a 30% disability rating based on orthopedic problems and tinnitus, which means he was hearing a constant ringing in his ears. I would imagine that would drive somebody nuts. And we all know that he has been, he was described as, having very, very serious problems, hearing voices in his head. Apparently he was in a motel somewhere in New England not long ago, and he called the police and he said that there were people in the closet of the hotel that were out to get him and that sort of. So this guy had some very, very serious problems. I guess at the end of the day, there is really nothing that you can, I mean, if you're going to have a free society there or any kind of a society, there are going to be some crazy people in it. There is simply no way around it. There are going to be nutcases. There are going to be violent people. And, you know, you can't really legislate sanity. Can't do that. This is from NBC News, also via Drudge. This is yesterday in the afternoon. Reports that the shooter who killed a dozen people at the Navy Yard Monday was hearing voices raises the possibility of mental illness, but it's not a diagnosis, experts say. Quote, I think it's too early to tell what the real motivation was in this recent case, unquote, said Dr. Jeffrey Lieberman, president of the American Psychiatric Association. Aaron Alexis, the 34-year-old gunman, appeared to report auditory hallucinations when he called police to a Rhode Island hotel 6 weeks ago and said he was hearing voices in the closet and wanted to move to a Navy hotel. Such hallucinations are the hallmark of psychiatric disorders. About 75% of those diagnosed with schizophrenia experience voices that they can't explain. They're also common in up to half of cases of bipolar disorder and in about 40% of PTSD cases, psychiatrists say, but they're not always critical, shaming voices that urge people to commit violence. In fact, many people with no disorder also report hearing voices, and they're often neutral, even innocuous, said Lieberman, who's also a professor and chairman of psychiatry at Columbia University. Quote, a larger than you would think portion of people in our population have these hallucinations, unquote, Lieberman said. Well, you know, who knows? I mean, I have never heard voices in my head, you know. I mean, headphones on in a radio studio or a helicopter do not count. I have occasionally had very vivid dreams in which I have heard things. You know, that I don't think that, you know, dreams, I don't think that really counts. What do you think? 718-305-7176 is the number. If you know anything about this, by all means, I mean, chime in. You know, I'd like to hear what your outlook is on this kind of thing, because I, you know, frankly, I don't know very much about. You know, one thing that I think is interesting is how the left appropriates psychiatric terminology and then ascribes certain things to anybody who disagrees with their philosophy on things. The left is famous for this. For instance, the word paranoia is bandied about now as if it doesn't have any real meaning beyond being really, really, really afraid. Well, you know, there is a specific definition to paranoia. That definition, paranoia is a psychiatric state which is characterized by an irrational and uncontrollable fear of an imagined threat. And the threat has to be imaginary. I mean, as they say, even paranoids have real enemies. But, it, you know, how many times have any of us recently driven a car with a passenger and the passenger says, oh man, come on, you're only going 57, hurry it up, we're late. And my answer is always, I really don't want to get pulled over. And invariably the response from the urging backseat or right seat driver will be, you're paranoid. Well, no, because getting pulled over on the road by a policeman is not an imaginary threat. People get pulled over by the police. I've gotten tickets in my life. I mean, heck, almost everybody has. So that's not paranoia. If you are truly paranoid and you are hearing voices in your head, and you are afraid that Napoleon is going to come at night and with cannon fire is going to take down your house, that's paranoia, all right, because Napoleon isn't going to be attacking anybody. The man's been dead for about 175 years, but I digress. It's about 28 and a half minutes after the top of the hour. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins, and where the phone number is 718-305-7176. Duke Brooks is my name. I'm very glad that you're along. Whether you are listening live on this Wednesday evening, September 18th, or at some later date on podcast, thanks very much for being with us. You know, we are now optimized for podcasting here at conservativenationmedia.com, so you can listen to us 24/7, anytime, anywhere. You know, just like Travis Bickle at the beginning of Taxi Driver. I'll work anytime, anywhere. Same great shows, same great people, except now we are optimized for smartphones like the iPhone, the Android, and some of these others that are out there. It's all part of life in the 21st century, folks. You know, what can I tell you? You have to stay on top of this stuff or you're going to get left behind. Every once in a while, I meet somebody who has, you know, who says, nope, I don't have a computer. I don't want one. Not interested. Don't need one. Didn't need one 40 years ago. Don't need one now. Okay. Go ahead. That is just one less person that those of us who live in the real world have to worry about. Okay. You know, if they're not online nowadays, if they can't use a computer, if they don't have even basic computer skills, frankly, they are kind of out of the loop. And people like you and me, who do have some degree of computer skills, don't have to worry about being competed against by that person. So I guess that's a good thing. You know, one of the worst nightmares that can possibly take place in the life of an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it might take months or even longer to recover from it. If you can recover at all, don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance and sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. So to protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. You will be very glad that you did. We're going to take a short break. More is coming up, I promise. Some hangar flying in the immediate future here on Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. So you stay right where you are.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Oh,
Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Welcome back. Duke Brooks here. About 25 and a half minutes before the top of the hour. So we are, I suppose, officially on the home stretch for this Wednesday, September 18th edition of Radio Free America, where the number is 718-305-7176. Speaking of the Beatles, those, of course, a moment ago, the bumper music was While My Guitar Gently Weeps by George Harrison and the Beatles on the classic White album. Lead guitar played by Eric Clapton. That is a vitally important piece of rock and roll trivia. You have to know that, you know, I mean, it's not quite in the same category as what constitutes proof that Paul is dead. I don't know if you're old enough to remember that around 68, 69, that rumor was going around, and, you know, Paul McCartney's dead. Paul's been slain in a bloody car crash, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, it's unbelievable. Speaking of the Beatles, mark your calendar, October 9th, a couple of weeks from now. That's 3 weeks from now. I think it's three. What comes after two? I think three comes after two. Yeah. And right before four. Anyway, my guest on October 9th will be Dan Richter. Now, Dan Richter was one of the stars of the movie by Stanley Kubrick, 2001, A Space Odyssey. Dan Richter, if you remember that film, and if you don't remember that film, why don't you just go straight to H.E. Double Hockey Sticks, because I think it's the greatest movie ever made, but that's just me. But the first 20 minutes or so of the film, 18 minutes, I think, even though it was a movie about, came out in 68, it was a movie about the future and space travel and that sort of thing. The beginning of the film takes place 3 to 4 million years ago, before human beings were human beings. And Dan Richter played the leader of a troop of proto-human, Australopithecus Africanus, Homo habilis, that kind of creature. And he had gotten this role because he was a mime, and he was also an extremely thin guy. And he choreographed and led this group of mimes wearing these costumes. And Arthur C. Clarke said something very interesting in an interview. He said one of the reasons that the film was not nominated for Best Costumes, and based strictly on the early African scenes, it probably should have been nominated for Best Costumes. Arthur C. Clarke went on to say that probably the members of the Academy did not realize that they were actors in those ape costumes that they made. The scene was brilliant, and 2001 is a absolutely brilliant. I believe it's the greatest film of all time. It is certainly one of the two most intellectually demanding science fiction films ever made. The other one is from 1954, 56, somewhere in there, is called Forbidden Planet, starring Leslie Nielsen and Walter Pidgeon. This is this was the first science fiction film made in color. It was the first science fiction film in which human beings had left the Earth and were moving out into the galaxy. All the other ones before that had been basically monsters arriving here. But in this one, people were in a spaceship that was a flying saucer, essentially. That's what it looked like. And they were moving out, to the galaxy, and they encountered a a planet where there were people that had been left there from an earlier expedition, an effort to colonize, I guess, and a very, very interesting film. And Forbidden Planet, Leslie Nielsen, may he rest in peace, he was a great actor, no question about it. Walter Pidgeon was a great actor in that film. Anne Francis was in the movie as well. Earl Holliman had a very interesting role in the movie. I don't know if you ever saw the film called Advise and Consent. Walter Pidgeon played a senator in that film. That was a wonderful film. George Grizzard, a couple of other, Betty White was in it as a senator. You know, that was a great movie, Advise and Consent. About 19 and a half minutes now before the top of the hour, 718-305-7176 is the number. We have been talking a little bit about the Washington Navy Yard shooting. It has moved off the headlines. I really don't expect to hear anything at all about that event after this Friday, the 20th. After that, I think it's no longer going to be in the news. It just won't be. For the reasons I mentioned earlier, the shooter is a minority guy, and the victims were all employed by the U.S. Navy. And the media, number one, they're not going to say or do anything that is going to even have the remotest possibility of being disparaging of a person in a minority. They just aren't going to do it. They're just not going to. And the other thing is, you know, as I said, I just don't think that the majority of people in the mainstream media have any problem whatsoever with the idea of members of our military, either civilian or in uniform, being killed. They just don't have a problem with it. That's all. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free. Listen, if you think I'm wrong, I will be happy to discuss it with you. Not interested in arguing or fighting or anything like that, but I will be happy to discuss it with you. I don't have, listen, this is talk radio, all right? It's not the EIB network or Sean or anything. But, hey, who knows where we're going to be this time next year? Noam Sanyo, all kinds of things are happening right now. On conservativenationmedia.com, we've got some exciting new shows that are coming up. So you just you stay right where you are. We're going to we've got a new one that is coming. This will be the second edition tomorrow night. The left, they're going to hate this program. I mean, the left absolutely despises the idea of a lawfully armed population. They can't stand the Second Amendment. They can't stand Americans' right to keep and bear arms. And now, I know for a fact, they are going to hate our new show, the Second Amendment Forum, on conservativenationmedia.com with Maxwell Winchester Roberts. Now, I am very happy to welcome Max and his decades of firearms and Second Amendment rights experience to Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. The leftist administration in D.C. wants to disarm the American people, and Max just will not let that happen. The Second Amendment Forum, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. We should be hearing from Max live on the air here in about 7 minutes or so. He's going to fill us in on what he's got going on tomorrow night. We had his first show last Thursday night. And, as things start, when people start doing something, especially with a fairly technical interface like we have going here, there are bound to be some technical problems, and there were, And I apologize. I'm sorry about that. But we, you know, we're going to work these things out a little bit at a time. That's really about all that you can do. So stay tuned. Anyway, now then, there are now more emails concerning the IRS scandal that have come to light. I think Chairman Daryl Issa of the California Congressman, Republican, Chairman of the House Government Oversight Committee, is basically in the process now of quietly building a case that can be taken to the American people starting about a year from now, in mid to late summer of next year. And that way, when the American people go in to vote in November of 2014, I am hoping that Chairman Issa is able to paint all the Democrats with the same brush, to tar them with the same brush. He can't count on any media cooperation, that's for sure. That isn't going to happen. The vast majority of the media in this country hates the Republican Party and the Tea Party even more than the Democrat National Committee does. There's any question about that. So, we'll see what happens. It is going to be extremely interesting. About 14 minutes to the top of the hour, got a little break coming up, some hangar flying on the other side of that, and your call, so stay right where you are.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear. Look for FAST. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911 immediately. Know the sudden signs. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
So tell, baby, tell.
Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Thank you, Greg Duran, and you too, Paula Abdul. About 11 minutes to go now until we can put this edition of Radio Free America to bed. The number is 718-305-7176. That reminds me, I left my shed open. You know, I've got a shed behind the house here. And about a week ago, I got the electricity working in the shed. So now I have a light and plugs and sockets and all that. Oh, it's wonderful. To me, that was like a really huge, you know, I mean, heck, man, I grew up in an apartment in New York City. What do I know about fixing things like lawnmowers and shed electricity? I don't know anything about it. So to get the wires in there working and hooked up correctly, I had to call Kevin Wade, who, as I mentioned, will be my guest next week on Radio Free America. Kevin is an electrical engineer, and he knows what he's doing, you know. So Kevin told me which wires to hook up and how to do it and everything, and I did everything that he told me to, and I hit the switch, and the light bulb came on. It was pretty unbelievable. Now, that Paula Abdul piece of bumper music, Blowing Kisses in the Wind, always reminds me of the morning of October 19th, 1995. You may recall that was the day of the Million Man March in Washington, D.C. And I had a really great gig on that day. And after we speak with Max Roberts about Second Amendment Forum tomorrow night here on conservativenationmedia.com, I will tell you about it. Max, welcome aboard, my friend. How are you, buddy?
How you doing there, Duke? It's good to be in touch with you again. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. What's new in the exciting world of firearms, and what are you going to be talking about tomorrow night on the Second Amendment Forum?
There is a lot of interesting stuff going on in the news. We're going to be talking about the shootout at the Naval Yard and the implications that it has. There's an interesting story. I've been finding out about a Connecticut judge named Robert Brunetti up there who is trying to take an activist position on the bench about saying, you know, people shouldn't have guns. We need to alert people about what's going on and point out all these egregious violations of the Constitution that are going on. While, you know, people will always try to put security for safety, but that's, let me tell you something. When you give it over to the government, you're not really having anything at all. You're actually imperiling the freedom of your society. We'll be talking about
that.
That
is correct.
I think I'm going to have a continuation on concealed carry guns, because I think that's a definite must right now, because I have no doubt that people are, after seeing what's taking place, that they're going to want to, you know, get better informed choices on buying guns like that. We're going to talk about the misnomers of the AR-15, I think that's another thing. I think the AR-15 will be one of the featured guns of the week, because we need to talk to people and show that there is a definite difference between the AR-15 that most Americans buy and the actual assault rifle that is used by the military and by SWAT units. And we're also going to take an exploration into the 46th Federalist Paper written by President James Madison, who was one of the principal authors of the Second Amendment. Americans need to be educated on what this is all about. I think it's very important to do this, because I think there's a lot of disinformation floating around about the Second Amendment and about guns. And I think we at Conservative Nation Media, Conservative Nation Radio, are to inform Americans on what really are their rights, and what these firearms really are, and how they work. I think it's important. So one can pull the wool over
your
eyes.
I agree with you, it is important.
Yes,
I mean,
because the media right now is engaged in a full scale disinformation campaign. And we on our side, I think, are supposed to be the beacons of truth.
I absolutely agree that unwelcome immigrant Britisher on CNN, Piers Morgan, referred to the weapon that Aaron Alexis had at the Navy Yard on Monday morning as an AR-15 shotgun. obviously, an AR-15 is a rifle which is based on the M16 that was designed by the Canadian engineer whose last name is Stoner. Isn't that right?
That's right. It's a very simple weapon. It's a bolt-action gas-operated rifle, typically chambered in 223 or Remington or 556 45 NATO and or 7.62-51 or 308 Winchester, which is the same caliber. And the big difference, I'm going to get involved and talk about the differences between, commercially sold ARs and, civilian ARs and that which is used by the military and the SWAT units. There is a world of difference. There's some similarities. They are basically a type of law enforcement weapon, but it is not at the same level of firepower in terms of speed of delivery. Most of those guns are very different.
Well, obviously, a rifle is a rifle and a shotgun is a shotgun, and so there is no such thing as an AR-15 shotgun. What a bunch of
there is.
What else?
AR-15.
Obviously.
No, Pierce.
Max, thank you for. I'm sorry, Max. Thank you for calling in, and we all look forward to listening to you tomorrow night on the Second Amendment Forum with Max Roberts here on ConservativeNationMedia.com. That's at 8:00 Eastern, 7:00 Central. Have a great show, my friend, and thanks again for calling in. I can't wait to listen to you tomorrow night.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Always a pleasure to speak with Max. He quite obviously is a world-class expert on firearms. Anyway, we've got about 3 minutes to go before we wrap up this edition of Radio Free America. I had mentioned a moment ago that on the day of the Million Man March, and whenever I hear Blowing Kisses in the Wind by Paula Abdul, I am reminded of that day. I think at that point the song was probably already a year, maybe 2 years old. I'm not sure, but I think it's the best song that she ever did. On the day of the Million Man March, I had a great gig. I mean, it was wonderful. I was flying the traffic helicopter and reporting traffic on the air in Washington, D.C. for WTOP Radio, which is the most important all-news station in the world, and it is the WTOP is just a monster radio station, and it is iconic, and, if you are a person in the radio news business, either that or WCBS in New York, those are the two places where you want to work. I mean, there's no question about it. And I had flown the traffic helicopter on WTOP for weekends during the previous summer. And I came back to fly it on the day of the Million Man March, and it was extraordinary. I flew it for about 5 hours in the morning, starting going from 5 a.m. to about 10 a.m., and then 4 hours that afternoon, going from, I think, 4:00 to 8:00 or something at night. And, I remember landing at the end of the day in Frederick, Maryland, which is where the helicopter was based. I leased it from my buddy Bill Stoner out there. When I landed that night, I felt like I had at least another good hour, maybe 2 hours in me that I could have done that day. That was a day of about 9 hours worth of flying. And over the Million Man March, I wasn't allowed to fly directly over the mall. That is a federally prohibited area that's known as P-56. And you're not allowed to fly over the mall. You're not allowed to fly over the White House or the Capitol building or the Washington Monument or the Lincoln Memorial. You're not allowed to do that. But you can get kind of close to it. And it was just a wonderful day, a day that I will never forget. And anyway, that will just about do it. The reason I mentioned that when I hear Paula Abdul is I was driving to the airport that morning at about 4:15. I heard Blowing Kisses in the Wind, one of my favorite songs, and I just knew it was going to be a great day. You have yourselves a wonderful day, and I look forward to speaking with you again next Wednesday. Have a great week, everyone.
No, no, no.